touch a lot of work in a short space of time. Ten entities, department, plus the auditor general. We just left with two entities, ATNS and SACA.
Thank you very much.
And just an indication of the caliber of people who are in this committee, I really need to appreciate, honorable members, that you really did a very good service this time around, and the massive work has been put into what we have been doing. Having said that, let me also welcome and appreciate the work that the functionaries from Parliament are doing. Dr. Ngezi, Advocate Nell, Valerie, Gunte, PMG and the rest, Kenny, but also from the department. I must indicate that I'm not happy with how the department is holding. You know, when you've got the weakest link, I would say that, having said that, the department is still one of those. But I think with time, you will shape up and be able to be up to where we are. And I'm saying this because it's so disappointing when the SOEs are here with us and the department doesn't send the DDG, who's responsible for that particular SOE. And then when there are questions which actually directly impacts on the department is not there to can be able to respond. It looks very clumsy in a way. And it looks like we're not very well organized in that regard. And I think that in future has to be corrected so that we are able to be upbeat on a number of things. I'm quite satisfied that at least for RTMC, RTIA, SANRAL, the DDG responsible was able to come, but others, the DDG, BRASA, the DDG was not there. And this is a critical state-owned entity, which we believe that the DDG should be there, so that as we are asking questions, we are able to go there. And also even the operations officer, it becomes very important. But actually, overall, I can't see why people must cage themselves that I will only attend if it's my unit, the other units. It's a collective, it's an entire department. You are able to understand the challenges that your colleague in public transport is experiencing. We are also able to understand what SAMHSA is experiencing, what are the critical things that they are doing. When they speak of the human resource which is aging, what are the things that one can be able to do? You don't have, it's only that chief director, you don't have somebody from human resource of the department to say what are the strategies that you can be able to put in place. Be that as it may, I like this committee because when time comes, you'll even regret as to why didn't I do as they have been indicating, because really, that to us is what we see as the weakest link, that the department sometimes, some way, doesn't work as a collective, and some way the department, it's like it's disengaging onto issues which actually belongs to us here in Parliament. And I think we should be able to correct that. I don't know who's going to be making a presentation. Colleagues, we've got two documents here that you should be able to deal with. The report on the budget vote of transport, vote 35. And we also had the annual performance plan and the strategic plan report from the Portfolio Committee on the APP and the Strat Plan of the Department of Transport. Who will be presenting? We'll start. Oh, Dr. Angel. Okay. Okay. Can we start with the APP and Strat Plan and then go into budget? Advocate, if you can lead us on the APP and Strat Plan.
Morning, members. Just to give members some feedback and information regarding the two reports, this is not necessarily new information. This is a combination of the information that both FISO and I have done before we sat with the entities. So we've already actually sent the report to members. What we need to work on and we need members' assistance with is to formulate the recommendations and to make sure that we've covered the concerning points that members raised in terms of what they've noticed and picked up and would like to highlight out in the report. Just many of the issues that we have listed in the BRRR are requests that the committee has made to the department, which is requests that are on an ongoing or a quarterly basis. So should members want us to repeat some of that, we can put it in the report, but since it's already in a report and it's already a request that has gone to the department, we do not necessarily need to duplicate this. Just to give members a refresher on that, we had requested the department to submit an action plan to address the findings of the AG. We had asked for it by 15 December. They did touch in their presentations, each of the entities as well as the department, in terms of what they have done in order to already remedy the issues that the AG has raised. And what was quite nice was to see that the department had worked very well with the AG in order to also rectify the targets and to make sure that it is smart and verifiable as far as possible. Our next point was that the department should submit the comprehensive briefing on the progress made on the taxi recapitalization program and review thereof, and this was again a request that the members made in this sitting. The department should submit quarterly reports on investigations underway in the department. We didn't get that much information during these presentations on all the investigations, except on the additional amount of funds that have already gone towards Werksmans. The department should submit quarterly reports on the achievement of job creation targets. It was a question that Honorable Sibande had asked them, all the entities in the department. It was a continuous topic that we need to see them to bring out more issues on their job creation, whether or not they are sticking to it. The department should submit quarterly reports on pending litigation as well as settlements reached. And the department should submit quarterly reports on HR management, as well as reports on progress in disciplinary matters. They did touch on some of those issues. The department should also submit quarterly reports on Shova Kalula. We spoke about that as well. And then also quarterly reports on the Moloto Corridor. I did include under one of our recommendations feedback and a report on the Moloto Corridor as well, because the minister had indicated that they would come and do presentations on those, especially since a substantial amount of money was specifically mentioned in SONA towards the road section of the corridor development. The department should also submit quarterly reports on strategies to address financial health status of CBRTA, RAF, SAMHSA, and PRASA. We did get reports on the financial status. And then also that PRASA should report quarterly on the inroads made into the implementation of the rolling stock modernization project. Those were the points that we specifically requested in the BRRR. Getting to the budget vote report document, I'm not going to go through it word for word. The information was taken from Treasury's budget review, as well as the department's strategic plans, APPs, and then the presentations that were made. We had seen 10 of the entities out of the 12 entities and the one account. So I always count it as 13 we never get a presentation on the driver license card account. The information that we used to pull it up was the SONA, as well as the APP and STRAT plans, and the AG's information that they presented, and we obviously always include the NDP in our analysis. The mandate of the department was given through, along with a discussion on the project. There's an indication of the performance per quarters 1, 2, and 3. Because we haven't not received the fourth quarter report yet. And when the departments and the entities draft the APPs and strat plans, they don't necessarily have the fourth quarter information. 2.2 is the policy priorities and how they align with the NDP as well as Agenda 2063 and 9-point plan and SONA. That's just to link it through to all the different policies that we have. Then there is a budget analysis of last year and this year and how it would seem that it is in most instances an increase where if you take into consideration your exchange rates and so on, that there's actually a decrease in the budgets. Just moving down, that's for each program. Then we have the expenditure by the public entities, discussion on those items as they were presented. The ones that are more in detail were specifically listed in the Treasury's budget review. From 4.5, when we get to Air Traffic and Navigation Services Company, there's a little bit less information. It basically just gives the total budget allocation in terms of how the Treasury aligned their document and their presentation. Then the committee observations is the bit where we would need members' assistance. That's from page 33 to 37, is the observations and the recommendations. What we've included so far as a draft or proposal is 5.1, budget allocation for social laws on mail. The committee noted that there's a budget allocation of 151.4 million towards the project which was for a long time unfunded mandate. Skewed allocation of subsidies. The committee noted the skewed allocations of the various modes of transport. Members made note of the difference between the allocation to PRASA compared to Gautrain, given the customer base that it's servicing, as well as allocation issues between the different metros and your smaller municipalities regarding BRT-type projects. The Public Road Maintenance Grant, PRMG, the committee noted the 10 billion budget allocation for PRMG. The committee further noted that poor road conditions are a significant contributor to the cost of moving people and goods within South Africa, and that there therefore is an imperative to improve national, provincial, and municipal road networks. 5.4, the Public Transport Network Grant, committee noted the 6.2 billion that was allocated to the PTNG implementation in 13 cities for the year. The use of consultants, the committee noted the marked decrease in the budget allocation for consultants in public transport program from 236 million to 211.7 million, translating into a decrease of 89.7%. However, it is noted that this program has the highest budget allocation for the use of consultants. On the National Road Safety Strategy, the committee noted the review of the strategy by the department, which is aimed at providing overall direction on the implementation of all road safety programs by ensuring alignment and integration across the wide range of specific interventions that are undertaken in the reduction of road crashes and fatalities. The department should urgently finalize the strategy so that the carnage on the country's roads is arrested. The financial health of entities under 5.7, we look at CBRTA and SAMHSA's total liabilities exceeding its total assets. These conditions, along with other matters, indicate the existence of a material uncertainty that may cast significant doubt on the entity's ability to operate as a going concern. The RAF has a claims liability of 170 billion, which keeps growing. The RAF continued to be unable to pay all settled claims when payment falls due. A large creditor's book in excess of 8 billion is maintained over and above all monies paid daily. Cash management strategies enable continued operation at the fund, but the fund is unable to process all claim payments. During February 2017, the fund faced operational disruption due to the attachment of their bank accounts and the attachment, removal, and sale of some of their assets. There's a low collection on GFIP for the e-toll project, and that's resulted in postponement of capital projects on the toll portfolio of SANRAL. The negative outlook on credit rating has resulted in bond auctions being cancelled, placing further strain on the funding ability. The delays in implementation of critical projects was regarded as a loss of opportunity. And the following entity raised concerns regarding budget shortfalls. The port's regulator faced budgetary constraints, which impacted negatively on its ability to expand its mandate. A new funding model was required to capacitate the regulator and implement programs successfully and sustainably. On the recommendation side, from page 35 onwards, the budget allocation for Shozulu-Zamail, the department should ensure that the budget allocation for the program commemorates with its mandate. On the skewed allocation of subsidies, the department should develop an overarching public transport policy that includes all transport modes to subsidize users and not operators. On PRMG, the department regularly monitors and evaluates the implementation of PRMG with a view to ascertain whether the grant is used for its intended purpose and whether the department receives value for money. On the National Road Safety Strategy, given the persistent carnage on the country's roads, the department should continuously monitor whether the road safety program or strategies implemented by RTMC and RTR are yielding positive results. On the use of consultants, the department should indicate whether the services rendered by consultants provide good value for money and whether the consultants also transfer skills to the employees of the department. The Public Transport Network Grant, the department should brief Parliament on the progress made in the implementation of bus rapid transit systems in 13 cities, specifically to ascertain whether there is alignment between the budget spent, the progress made, as well as the quality of work done. That is on the budget vote report. On the APP report, we have similar points that were raised and recommendations. Just quick run through, there's the consideration and the methodology, which is very much the same as the other reports, the analysis and the overview of the department. There's specific discussion on the strategic objectives under each program and the budget allocation and how it's purported to be managed through the quarters. And that carries on till page 11, where the review of the draft APP by the AG is also discussed. This is based on the presentation we received from AG. The 3.1 onwards is the content that the AG had on their slides regarding the issues that they had with the draft APP targets and how the department had resolved it in terms of the document that they then eventually sent to Parliament. As members would recall, the AG did not focus on all each and every one of the programs. They had only pulled out the specific ones that they addressed. For the observations, the committee commended the department on the improvement in targets and indicators set through its consultations with the AG. It further noted the following observations regarding the Strat Plan and APP. Then page 15 is the consultations with stakeholders. The department did not indicate the stakeholders that it plans to consult with during the first quarter with a view to developing the status report on the transport sector socioeconomic empowerment programs for gender, disability, youth and children. NATMAP 2050, the department plans the rollout of 10 prioritized NATMAP pilot projects. On Shamba Sonke, the committee noted the target set by the department for overall implementation of the program, monitored in line with the PRMG budget. For the committee recommendations, the following was proposed for consultations with stakeholders. The department provides the committee during its quarterly expenditure reports with information on the stakeholders that it plans to consult during the first quarter. With review to the GYC programs, it further It should further indicate the criteria that will be used to select these stakeholders and indicate whether the criteria took cognizance of the rural and urban divide. The department should, for all targets regarding the consultation with stakeholders, wherever it intends to or it is required to consult with stakeholders, either identify the applicable grouping or category of stakeholders or state the specific stakeholders where the target allows for this. Under NATMAP 2050, the department gives a comprehensive briefing to the Committee on NATMAP, including the pilot projects. On Shambasonke, the department should provide the committee with a comprehensive progress report on the 2017-18 implementation of the program, with a view to enabling the committee to conduct oversight over these areas so that it can ascertain whether there is value for money. The National Road Safety Strategy, the department provides the committee with a comprehensive briefing on the National Road Safety Strategy once approved by Cabinet. On human resources, the department should continue engagements with Treasury in order to ensure that all critical vacant posts are filled with suitably skilled employees. On public transport subsidies, the department should ensure that the current system is evaluated or reviewed in order to ensure the best possible affordable, safe and reliable services delivered to the commuters in a manner that allows for the inclusion of all affected public transport operators on the old bus contract routes. The department should also ensure that a presentation is done to the committee on the BRT report from municipalities currently implementing such systems or in the process of planning to implement such a system. On the Mulatto Corridor, the department should provide the committee with a comprehensive progress report on the 2017-18 implementation of the corridor project for both road and rail, with a view to enable the committee to conduct oversight over this project. Those were our proposed observations and recommendations for members, and we would appreciate the feedback. If we can get it all done today, we will work on it this afternoon to make sure that members get the already edited and included report, because we have to have it ATC by Friday. So we also need some time later in the week for members just to come and adopt the report as well. Thank you.
Honourable members, there we are. Honourable Sibande. Oh, I thought your hand was up. Honourable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start off by saying this is probably one of the best reports we've ever seen. In my short exposure to transport portfolio on a national level, and I have big appreciation for the hard work that has gone into this report, in both reports, in fact. More specifically, Chair, I would like to focus our attention on paragraph 3 in the Strat Plan Annual Performance Plan report that you would find on page 11, paragraph 3. What we're dealing with here is a comment drawn from the AG's report, where it's been identified that under the responsibility of the department, five entities out of the 12 have been identified with particular financial and administrative procedurally non-compliance of all sorts of varieties, which we don't need to go into detail now. I would like to see a recommendation from our side, particularly around that, because it's not an individual identification of a compliance issue. It's fairly well stated here, I think, in the sixth sentence from the top, that in fact over the 3-year period it is a further regressive feature of particular entities not being specific and not providing reliable performance management reporting. So out of this, we should surely as a committee then recommend a particular investigation, a particular focus, because surely you can't have 3 years in a particular direction or trend going downwards and I have no recommendation around this. So what I'm asking for is consideration for this committee to formulate a particular recommendation, because out of the experience in the engagement with the entities, it was quite clear that they have good reason for each of these initially supposed transgressions, because there were exceptions and there were reasons why targets weren't met and so on. But in a way, then, we must get a conversation going sooner and long before the final audit, so that the interpretation with the AG is different, because it surely does not come down very well in saying 3 years in a row the decline is downwards. And I'm sure that the conversation or a closer alignment between the department and the particular entities can surely give rise to a better report in saying that these issues have been resolved prior to the cut-off date and the actual AG's involvement in identifying these issues. It's the only... I don't know how we would formulate this, but I would want to recommend then something along the lines of that the committee recommends, in light of the remarks by the AG, closer cooperation, so that intervention of KPIs that are identified not to be in line with particular criteria from the AG, that there's a conversation prior to the auditing of the AG. Something in that line would work. Thank you, Chair.
There's a proposal, honourable members. I also agree that we should be able to formulate something in this regard. But also going down the memory lane, I think in 2015, part of the things when this was being observed, particularly focusing internally on the department, we made a recommendation to the minister that they should have a COO who will be able to look into all these entities and be able to make follow-up on certain things which actually were falling by the wayside. And since then, we have never made check as to is that role, if there is a COO, what is he playing the role that we were saying he should be able to play? And if he's playing the role, can we be able to hold him accountable to this that we are seeing? Because it's almost like 3 years ago, and there is regression in this regard. So I don't know how we can be able to coin that. But we will be thinking it through before we finish. We should be able to say, how do we make a recommendation in this regard? Honorable Sibande, okay. I saw you, Honorable, I saw you having your hand. Honorable.
Okay, Chair, mine is just one question on the reduction of consultants. I think it's not enough, you know, going down to 111 million. And I think the department should look at the European consultants. We have employed people whom we think they have expertise to do the work. They need to come with education. I'm not saying that we should not do away completely with consultants, but I think the figure is still way too high. And we should look at it to check it.
Okay. You see, what I was saying earlier on, that sometimes when there are issues, you want somebody very senior from the department who can be able to answer some of these questions. Because immediately what comes into mind is, what is the role of this consultant? What exactly are they doing? If we are to say reduce, like the AG has indicated that there's too much utilization of a consultant. If we are to say now, let's have the consultants being reduced, can we be able to get an indicator from the department as to what exactly is the role of these consultants? Are they consultants who are doing who are assisting in terms of technical work, what exactly are they doing? We can't get that because you don't necessarily have somebody from the department who can be able to. But I think we will be able to, we will make a recommendation that consultants, we need to look into utilization of consultants. But as a committee also, I think it will be important that we write to the minister to say, let's have an explanation of what exactly consultants are doing in the department, if they can be able to give us an overall picture of what the consultants are doing in the department. It will definitely be very, very helpful. Honorable.
Chairperson. I will also join my colleagues maybe to upload the report. But nevertheless, we will seek some clarities there and there. Chairperson, number one, the issue of consultants, I'll have a rider on that one. I'll put two examples, practical examples. If you recall very well in Brasa, I see no reason to pay, for us to pay a vexman. Why should we pay a vexman? What is the role of vexman? What is the Brasa itself responsibilities? I support the idea that they must be reduced. Number two, if you go to RAF Road Accident Fund, these contingents of lawyers and with the colleagues of doctors and that, I agree if the case is referred to a doctor, but there is a sinister, practice there. Why should we keep them? Here comes the question. For how long? Because if you recall very well the trend from Satchwell Commission, we commissioned Satchwell Commission sometimes ago to investigate about this matter, but it doesn't come to an end. I support the idea that they must be drastically reduced. And then, Chairperson, another thing which I wanted maybe to suggest, I don't know how to put it to our scribers. Maybe they would clarify me is covered somewhere. I thought that they would also include some legislations which are urgent to be addressed. Because, if I'm not mistaken, some of the entities, they spoke about some of these legislative matters that must be brought to. It should have indicated, we should have included them as well. Another, I'll put an example, I can't remember which entity, the last few entities, whereby there was a legislation which was put there in 1951, we even make a joke that before we were born, and the chairperson said, I was born there. Such things, you know. That was SAMHSA, yes. I'm citing an example of some of these things which we, I think in our report it must reflect. It must reflect in our report. Lastly, Chairperson, as part of our oversight, because sometimes we're being accused that we never talk about it, our oversight, the international oversight, because it's part of the budget itself. I think it must be catered to as well. Because as a committee, we made a clear recommendation that we request them to allow us or to give us a permission to go and do an oversight with 123 concerning of our line function. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll come if I recall some.
Thank you very much. The budget that we're discussing here, Honorable Sibande, is the budget of the Department of Transport. Our oversight in terms of international trips will be coming from Parliament, not from the Department. Yeah. Honorable Mulaudi, Honorable Tseko, and Honorable Hussi.
No, thanks, Chairperson. My question is out of the strategic plan. In terms of the human human resources of the department. I'm trying to check whether the filling of the vacant post, when I check the report, there's nothing is quiet about the vacant post, which we're always complaining here about the acting.
I come on the end, yes.
Oh, you see, in court we talk, even if we're far.
So I'm talking.
No, thanks, Chairperson. My question is from the annual performance plan and the strategic plan, because I can't see any plan about the human resource HRD of the department in terms of the filling the vacant post. It's silent, I don't know. Okay. That's all what I want to clear it.
Honorable Seko.
Thanks, Chair. Though I am a little bit handicapped in discussing the report, Chair, but there is somewhere on page 15 where the subheading is consultation with stakeholders 5.1. I think in the department's deliberations, they were talking about consultation of stakeholders. They did not mention the stakeholders. Here, the recommendation reads as the department provides the committee during the quarterly expenditure report on the stakeholders they were to consult during the first quarter. I was thinking of putting it in a way that they provide us with the list before they come for. Before they come for the first quarter, to account for the first quarter, they must provide us with the list, because you can't say during the first quarter expenditure report they must provide us with the list, and then it's still during the first quarter where they are expected to consult with the stakeholders. Can they provide us with the list of stakeholders that they are to consult before they come for? Yes, I think I was to recommend that, Chair. I'm not sure whether it's making sense. Thank you.
It does, because obviously they know who are the people they're supposed to consult with, and therefore if we're appraised as to who are these people, it does not necessarily need to come as ex post facto matter, Honorable Hussein.
Thank you, Chair. Just two other points that I stumbled on. Firstly, I would like to see something in the recommendations relating to the continuous experience that we have in these engagements around the lack of consequence management, and particular performance areas in terms of oversight from the department side that would focus on the emphasis of consequence management with each of these entities. A lot of things slip through, which then pop up during our engagements, and I'm referring to issues like with the Road Accident Fund, for instance, where they've gone on tender with RAPS branding, where we must still deliberate on the whole bill, and where they've asked for protocol on health recommendations on RAPS as well, where it's not even to say that the name would remain RAPS, because I personally don't like any component of a name that involves scheme, because to me scheme is only one thing, and that's a scheme, so I don't like that portioning or it's like a pyramid scheme of some sort. I don't like that, so you know, and there they go out on tender. So consequence management, I think, is something that we must really insist on from the committee side, in an effort to try and outmanage and get rid of all these transgressions that we repeatedly see. I was hoping that my colleague would return hence his remark on the recommendations of the Satchwell Commission around the Road Accident Fund, and recommendations after the research and great work which the Satchwell Commission did years ago.
only one aspect of the over 170 recommendations of the Satchwell Commission was accepted and taken up in the skeleton called RAPS. So I would welcome a debate or deliberation or a proposal around the work of the Satchwell Commission, because there's a lot of other very, very valuable recommendations there, which is very important for this committee to be exposed to. So certainly we should look at that. Sorry, Chair, that's me. My apologies. Then a last thing that I would like to propose is on page 28, where we've got a table of numbers, since total is indicated as a sum of the column on the right-hand side, where it's rounded off to 6.7 billion, I would suggest that we really add it up and express the total as the exact number, which is 6,010,300,000, and see, we're also bad with numbers. I did that deliberately. Thank you, Jay.
I think probably you are able to understand where honourable members are going. But I wanted to say that maybe what we need to do, honourable members, is to look at the proposed recommendations one by one. The observations, we look at the observations and the recommendations one by one, and if there's a need, because we have already made some additions, once we finish that, then the team will be able to tell us the observations that we have made, and if there are other recommendations that we have already made, they will be able to indicate. Let me say, let's look at the budget vote 35 report. The observations are on page that starts on page 33. The first one goes to page 34. Observation 5.1. Is it okay the way it's structured? Agreed on observation 5.1. Can we pass? Do we need to reorganize it in another manner? Advocate, going, gone. Okay. 5.2. The skewed allocation of subsidies. I thought that this one needs to be expanded more so that it's able to indicate what do we mean, because if somebody outside of us comes and the committee noted the skewed subsidization of various modes of transport, people should be able to understand what we really mean here, because you'd recall that as we're dealing with the Arthur Bill, the taxi associations, when they came, they also mentioned that the department should also take into consideration the fact that they commute 65% of the commuters, and without subsidy, the subsidies for buses and trains. But probably our recommendations should be to the effect, because now, as it is, the subsidy, whether it's per passenger or per kilometer, how can we be able to make a recommendation which actually will be able to assist the department for them to be able to really make a mileage out of this? We're also here talking about subsidization of metro rail, and Gautrain. How do we deal with this type of anomalies that you find? Because the other one, Gautrain subsidization is extremely higher than Metro Rail. how do we deal with those type of situation? And I felt that the skewed subsidization should be able to be an inclusive, but it should be able to say, in terms of rail, these are the things that we are seeing, in terms of other public transport, as in buses, taxis, these are the things that we are seeing. Dr. Ngesi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I partly agree or concur with your observation. However, insofar as the recommendation is concerned, if you look at page 36, that will be under subheading 6.2. That's where the recommendation is in terms of what ought to happen. And it reads as follows, if I may. The department develops an overarching public transport policy that includes all transport modes to subsidize users and not operators.
Just to alert members, I'm not sure if you saw, there's a recent development that the Competition Commission is actually going to start reviewing public transport tariffs, because there was a complaint lodged that in many instances, the one example that they used is that Gautrain sets fares without consulting with the Department of Transport first. I don't know if members want to include that. It wasn't part of the presentations, but it is something that has indicated that it will most likely take them about 2 years to finalize the investigation. I don't know if we should link the subsidization, the fare charges, and staff, because the fare charge issue might be addressed by STAD when it comes in, or if we should just leave it and just focus on the presentation that we had.
Chair, my recommendation would be not to include it and not to generalize it and not to cluster it into one direction. Each of those have a particular track record and a particular market, and I don't think we should go that far. I'm also not sure, Doctor, that 6.2 actually addresses the general thinking which we've developed in the committee in terms of we are growingly concerned about the allocation and proportioning of budget to different modes of transport. I see that 6.2 suggests a policy in terms of subsidization that should be addressed to users and not operators, which is a different element to me altogether. And I'm fully in support of this. But then in the same document, you know, we don't question allocations to particular transport mode associations, for instance. We note it and we accept it. So then we must start becoming critical about this, you know, if that's a direction. So, Chair, the doctor has now put a magnifying glass on 6.2. Is this what we are actually then suggesting, is that we are recommending under 6.2 that, in fact, the department should consider looking at a policy where there is a focus on subsidizing commuters rather than operators. Is that what we are saying? Uh-huh. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Chairperson, my understanding with the explanation which was given by the doctor, I think it's clear that, you see, if you go to be specific, it was going to be a very long, a thick document. This is a summary summarizing all. That is my understanding. that the doctor is trying to summarize on.
Maybe let us put it this way, that firstly, we are concerned about, let's say we have observed that the subsidization of trains differs because how Metro Rail is being subsidized and how train is being subsidized is different, but the role is the same in this regard, and therefore we should be able to say this observation that we have made and maybe come up with a recommendation to say this is what we are recommending. That to me is the first portion that we should put to the report, but also say that the second observation is that the also within the public transport space, as in your buses and taxis, buses are being subsidized, whereas taxis have not been subsidized. And this actually is something that the department should be able to say, how do they look at it, which actually the recommendation that the doctor is talking to say, we believe that this is how they should be able to subsidize, will be able to be factored in once we are able to make those types of the types of observations that you cannot you're subsidizing buses, you are not subsidizing taxis. What is the rationale within this whole situation? And therefore, in terms of subsidization, probably of the overall subsidization should be the way it has been put as a recommendation, that this is how we are recommending that subsidies should be able to follow this type of a route. But we should also say, in terms of this the skewed way of subsidization, you can't subsidize Gautrain more than you're subsidizing Metro Rail in this instance, because I'm thinking in Setswana, and I want to put it in English. You know, taking coal to Newcastle is not a fair thing, because here in this situation, the way Gautrain is being subsidized, it's just that situation of taking coal to Newcastle. So these are the things that I believe we should be able to look at. You are better placed to can be able to put it along those lines. Can we pass this one?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to build on what my colleague has asked. 6.2. Maybe it's my understanding of English. Are we now saying we are agreeing that the people should be subsidizing commuters and not operators? Because this is a paradigm shift to me from what we are saying, Chairperson, which I agree fully. But the recommendation is saying something different. Now, are we agreeing in this shift? Because it then says something different from what we are actually saying in the committee. So I think we need to clarify that one in terms of the recommendation and be very clear that it is in line with what you are summarizing, Chairperson, because I think it's saying something different.
If I can make a proposal, the the standard view is that it would be ideal if we can subsidize the user instead of the mode, because then you cancel out the current issues that the department has expressed regarding subsidization of the taxi industry being a problem because they are structured in associations instead of company formats. That's normally the situation regarding the contracting issues. But because the committee has not received a report back yet from the department that the work that they have done with Roads and Transport Gauteng regarding the area in Pretoria where Autopax had to take over, there was a review of how things can change, and some of the associations there actually formed small companies to throw the department's argument out. The ideal is to subsidize the user. But if we don't want to be specific in terms of telling the department which direction the committee would want them to go, the committee's recommendation could be that the department present a review of the subsidization model for public transport to the committee in order to allow the committee to better understand how they do the calculations, because they might use a different calculation for the Gautrain subsidy to the PRASA subsidy that the committee can then say, but PRASA actually subsidized so many more kilometers and users compared to Gautrain, so how do you correlate? Because the committee has not received a presentation like that that I'm aware of. It's a bit difficult to tell them exactly. We're coming from the point of view of PRASA saying Gautrain's getting more money than we are. So we need to get the facts to the committee before we take a specific line of view. So I'm proposing that it be in line with some of the other recommendations to rather request a report back from the department on their subsidization model that they are using for public transport, and then the committee take it further from there in terms of formulating.
Thank you, Chair. Looking at 6.2, I would suggest that we split 6.2. I like the heading of 6.2 because the heading suggests a particular observation by this committee. So under the heading, I would appreciate a formulation that describes the observation, which I'm sure is summarized within the heading, namely a skewed allocation of subsidies. And maybe a description of our observations which we extracted from the deliberations. And then secondly, looking at the content which is noted in this report under 6.2, I would suggest or recommend that we consider taking out the recommendation for a policy, but then replace the word policy with a prepared layout or a prepared presentation on the methodology which the department uses then to allocate and to arrive at the certain budget allocations for each of the modes of transport, instead of suggesting that we need to have a new policy around.
Agreed. I think it's clear. Honorable Peko?
I'm not very much sure, Chair, if even the taxes are included in what you're saying. I would love it if it also includes taxes, because it's only buses, according to my understanding, that are subsidized.
I think that the presentation, as has been made by Honorable here, is a suggestion that in terms of our observation and our recommendation, that the department should come and give us in a report as to how they are subsidizing. And therefore, because we are also making a proposal that the subsidies should also factor in the question of the taxes based on the 6.2. Again, we are saying that they have been subsidizing operators, and now we are saying they must subsidize users in this regard. So therefore the users throughout, it be a train user, it be public transport, yeah, kind of a situation. So this is how they are being dealt with. Can we look at the observations? We're doing observation and recommendation. Observation. We are now at 5.3, public road maintenance grant. Are we okay with how it's structured, the observation? Okay. And the recommendations? Can we move to 5.4? This will come as an afterthought. Today I allow afterthought. Yeah, today I do. Public transport network grant. 6.3 billion was allocated to the PTMG in 13 cities. This is BRT. I think part of the observations that we have made in terms of the BRT is that it's implemented differently in different cities. So therefore, you can't have a policy that has to be implemented, but when it has to be implemented, everybody choose how they would be implementing. Because when you look at Rea Vaya, in Gauteng, Rea Vaya is implemented differently from REA. You come here in the Western Cape, Go George is implemented differently from my city. So I think we also need to observe that this is being, as a policy, is implemented differently in all these 13 cities, and therefore would recommend that the department make sure that it gets properly realigned and it gets properly implemented in a proper way, because everybody is doing their own things. And the other observation that we have made, BRT was not meant to remove certain modes of transport, but when you see this whole thing, like the I think Go George, my city, I don't know about Ariang, I don't know about Rea Vaya, but Ariang, all of them, when they started to implement the taxis, are being removed, and so that they can be able to accommodate. We thought, personally, as I was going through these documents, I thought that you have to complement these modes of transport instead of the other one being taken out and the other one coming in to occupy that space. The buses, the taxis, the trains should be able to operate, all of them together, so that it can be able to, you are able to have a better public transport facility which will be able to accommodate all of us, and hence the congestion that you see in the roads because of these inconsistencies that gets created. That's the
some of the observations that some of us have to have a meeting with a certain cities and the department later. That is not in the report because through the power of the committee. So it will just form part of the program as soon as the committee decides on the day.
Chair, in the recommendations, we did indicate that the department should brief the committee on the progress made on the implementation of the BRT in the 13 cities to determine whether or not it's aligned between the budget spent, progress made, as well as the quality of work done. The BRT system was, apart from the issues that it creates by taking away some of the other modes, it was essentially created and introduced to provide a company platform for the taxi industry to get into. So some of them were quite pleased with it and welcomed it, but some of them, as we saw with Go George, there were too much conflict situations that went back to the consultation issues. Riavaya has made multiple presentations on it. Transport Cape Town has also made multiple presentations on it in different workshops and congresses, but I don't think the committee has received those kinds of presentations. There's even from my city side, I went to a ticketing conference and when I was still at Gauteng, and they've indicated, the lady that did the presentation, that if they knew now what issues they would have had with some of the ticketing systems as well as implementing the routes, and the mass amount of costs that you learn you have to incur, like down by the Cape, the rust was a main issue with the kind of materials that they use. If they knew all that before they started, they would have had a different view of BRT. So I think it's very important to get that input. I think the ministers also indicated it in the meeting that some of the cities have different views on whether or not it's the best option to implement. But it is, especially for Gauteng, it's an issue because you can't necessarily use your card from Riavaya getting to Arieng or Harambee at the Ekurhuleni side. And also the platform sizes was an issue because some are high platform, some are low platform. So the transitioning is an issue. And that, again, goes towards additional infrastructure spend because you have to change the platforms. So a discussion on this is very important, and we definitely need the department's one and then the municipalities to come.
There you are, honorable members. Advocate.
No. We'll see what that will object. Of course, I'm going to object. Nothing yet. I want to be proudly object. That's our duty.
Your dictionary doesn't have that word, but I think Advocate Nell, you're very correct in the approach that we are having. Firstly, we are saying that the department should be able to make sure that the synchronization of the implementation of these BRT issues, because these are the things that we have observed that everybody is implementing in however. But I think the, as you're talking, Advocate, one of the things that quickly comes into mind is the fact that as we're talking with the ticketing system, you can't have a ticket that you take from you go into my city, you move from my city, you go into Metro Rail, you get out of the Metro Rail, you go into the taxi. And this, I think, these were some of the things that you can be able to use. Having a ticketing system that allows you to go into all those things. And I know it's going to take many, many years for them to can be able to do that, which actually goes back to what I was saying earlier on, to say it's very important that the department moves towards or propels everybody in this whole system towards a situation where all this public transport should be able to link with one another without hassles as we are dealing with that. So I don't know how we can coin that one. But are we okay with the proposals that we are making in terms of observations and recommendations? We are now at 5.4, we've dealt with 5.5. The use of consultant we spoke to eloquently. Do we still want to talk to it further? I think it's done. 5.6, National Roads Safety Strategy. Is right? Advocate Gwamasenga?
Yes.
No. Okay. It's gone. 5.7. Financial health of entities. Don't just object. I think the honorable members, 5.6, 5.7, it's got sub items from 1 up to 4. If we are okay with that. Going, it's gone. Can we, anyway, we have been doing with, we're dealing with the FIA, the recommendations as we're dealing with the, I wanted to come to 5.7.4 on the issues of the ports regulator, where they were indicating that they've got a proposal of the financial model that they would want to implement, but they can only implement that once the law has been changed. I don't know how we can be able to put that, because I think it's important. It will assist the department also that once the law has been passed, then they will be able to generate revenue one way or the other in that regard. And I think Honorable Humsinga also spoke to something on 5.2 RAF, because their presentation was just a very worrisome presentation, where they are implementing the road accident benefit scheme before even the bill comes to Parliament. We need to say something about that. We can't just leave it, because it's there in their documents. We need to advocate.
Chair, considering the proposal earlier regarding the inclusion of the legislation and the issues, we will be able to link it. I will draw up a paragraph on the urgent legislation that will be coming to the committee, and legislation review that would be necessary of the old legislation. And in that manner, then we can just link up the port regulators' concerns in our... At first, under observations, we'll just say the following legislation still has to come to the committee. The committee notes the delay in the processing of the legislation. And then under the recommendations, we can just say for the legislation that the department should implement more stringent oversight over how the entities advertise in terms of legislation that's not yet promulgated, because we don't just have the RAF that has done it, we have RTA that has also done it, as Mr. Hansinger proposed regarding the departmental oversight, and then to link also that the department should urgently implement the review of the outdated or the older legislation, and then specifically link it to the ports regulator in terms of the issues that they have with the funding model.
are we satisfied with the AG and how it is structured in terms of the issues? Number three, are we happy with the proposal that has been made on the Auditor General observation? If you can look at the paragraph of the AG. This is page 11. Other matters. This is the review. Honourable members can be able to look at them on their during their time. Let's look at the recommendations, observations. That is page 14. Observations on page 14. Are we okay with the observations? The 4.1. Consultation with stakeholders, is that okay? Good. Honorable Sibande, are you fine? Can we go to 4.2 net map? Good. Nothing on net map. Can we move on to Samba Song? Can we move? Samba Song, are we fine with the Samba Song? Maybe if you don't know, Advocate Mlaudzi, Samba Song is meant for maintenance. Mm-hmm. We did oversight there by Mabopane Soshanguve.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
It's still the same.
Happened. Yeah, so that's why I'm saying, are we happy with Samba Song? You agree with it?
Yeah,
okay.
Object in the house.
Okay, can we move to the recommendations? Consultation with stakeholders, is that okay? Or I think one honorable member indicated that as we are dealing with the strat plan and APP, we should be, take a factor in consequence management, which will be the probably 4.4. We should also factor in consequence management, and it cuts across the department and the parastatals. That there is no consequent management. Can we move to that was 5.1 consultation with the stakeholders, we're fine. Net map 5.2, Honorable Sibande, are we okay with net map? We're recommending that the department should give us a detailed implementation of this, if there are pilot projects which are taking place, they should come and brief us in that regard. Samba Songe, progress report of 2017-18 implementation. with the view that we'll be able to go do oversight in some of the areas to ascertain whether there is value for money in what is happening. We're fine with that. Can we move to 5.4, National Road Strategy? Road Safety Strategy? Honorable Sibani?
Just a comment, like, oh, Samba Song. See, so person reminded me something that, you see, like, there are tasks which are dedicated by us, to us, in fact, and then there are tasks which are dedicated to the province as well. I don't know. From the department side, what is our take and what is our comment in terms of making sure that some of these programs are fulfilled? Like Umsanda Bekakhuluma ngayo, do you still remember when we visited those bridges and the like? And we made some recommendations of which they depend on us in terms of budget and the like. We gave them everything, the resources and the like. But I don't know what is happening. So I thought that maybe if the drafters can assist us on that regard, in particular to the department, to fast track and also to make sure that there is proper monitoring in that regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Did you get what the honourable member is saying? Because I'm lost.
Chi, I understand Mr. Sibanda wants to find out how best the committee can ensure that the recommendations are implemented. What we are proposing, given that there's been it's been nearly 2 years since the visit, where the members were able to evaluate the project. Why we are doing the proposal that we want a comprehensive progress report on the implementation of Samba Sonke. We can extend it instead of just referring to the 2017-18 year, which is what they are planning. We can extend it to do the past from 2014 up to date, as well as the projects that they are planning to go and move forward. Then the committee can make specific recommendations on that out of the committee meeting. It would be, other than making the commitments and the going out by the committee to go and do oversight, other than making the recommendations, I'm not sure in terms of procedure-wise if Valerie knows of anything other than that the committee can do in terms of powers, but the committee is always able to pressure the department, and like my colleague from SCOPA has told me that members and the committees must remember they have the power to actually change the budget. So if the members are feeling that the project, the specific program is not being run properly or managed properly, or given that 2 years ago there was oversight and there's still no change, members or the committee can make a recommendation on that and say, we need progress, otherwise those projects are going to fall by the wayside or this budget will be reduced. Those are all options that are open to the committee.
Especially after the rainy season, the roads are just in a messy state in most of the provinces. Honorable.
Chairperson,
as much as we understand the situation in the provinces, because as committee members, what we would like to see or to observe is to make sure that there's value for money in the monies that are transferred to provinces. That's what we'd like to see. But I don't think it would be wise for us now to take a drastic decision to say there must be this that we must do. What I can say is that we must follow up on the project and ask the department to maybe to make a presentation on how they follow up or how they or must we as a committee do oversight over or how are they monitoring the use of those funds. Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson. Maybe I think because this issue seems to be critical and urgent, I see the recommendation, it's fine, but maybe can't we attach a time frame as to when we need this comprehensive progress report?
Okay. Honorable Mpaza, do you want to make a proposal? Time frame?
Maybe in 3 weeks' time. Sure.
In 3 weeks' time?
Yes, if it is possible.
I'm just thinking that probably maybe why can't we write to the department and say that when they bring their quarterly reports, that they specifically zoom into this what is that Samba Sonke road maintenance, and they are able to elaborate onto what has really happened, but giving us quarterly breakdowns of what exactly is happening, because obviously I'm just trying to think out loud that if there's an N3 road, for argument's sake, which has been done, which is being maintained, they will be able to say this 60 kilometers, we are at 40% in this first quarter, we are at 60% in the second quarter, kind of an indication. This is the end of the financial year. They have not as yet finished. It's maybe staggered into a three-year program project. So they will also be indicating in the next financial year how they will be doing that. It becomes easier that way. But it doesn't absolve them from giving us a report as proposed by Advocate Nell that we should be able to say as part of the recommendation that we recommend that they give us progress to date from 2014 in terms of the road maintenance that they have been doing from 2014 to date. But and then we say moving forward we need maybe quarterly report on the road maintenance. It gets
I'm happy with that, Chair.
Yeah, it's manageable that way.
That's what I'm saying, that the department will request that information from the provinces, but the department should get that from the provinces on a quarterly basis to give us that information. Because remember, part of the thing that I think it's last year which was highlighted in terms of the road maintenance grant was that in some provinces, totally they are no longer giving, in terms of the equitable share, they are no longer allocating money to the road maintenance. They rely on the grant that comes from the national department. And you would recall that when we were in Northwest, part of the observations that we made was to the effect that the grant was allocated 2014-15 financial year, 2015-16, when we went there, it was towards the end of the 20, the third quarter of 2015-16. But the observations that we made was that the money was allocated in terms of the proposal that comes from the provinces that were going to be doing this bridge and this bridge and this bridge, and then national debt allocates that money. It arrives in the province. It doesn't go to where it goes. It goes and do another project in this instance. So I think what really needs to happen is for us to get money from the project, which actually were we should be able to get the report of the projects which were proposed by the provincial government, which led to a situation that the national government gives the grant, and then we're able to say, this is the project that was proposed, this is the grant which was given, has this project been executed, kind of a situation, because that is the observation that we made when we went to Northwest, that the grant was given, but it was not used where it was supposed to go. Can we move to road safety strategy? Are we agreeing with the recommendation as put? Do we know if this strategy was approved by Cabinet?
Chair, I think one of the department officials did indicate that it had just gone. So they did say that they would be able to present it to the committee.
Chairperson, there was a process. I think a cabinet committee had passed it.
Just to get it has passed the cabinet committee, yes. But it has not passed cabinet.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah, because this is the phase one approved by cabinet. 5.5 on human resources. Public transport subsidies. We are okay. Okay. Moloto corridor. Are we happy?
I'm not ending on the railway. Moloto railway.
I think we should. Honorable Sibande.
Just to take you one step back, if you allow me. Yes. Chairperson, we the public 5.6. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think it's captured correctly, but except to see, I'm a little bit concerned, Chairperson, about these subsidies. Because it is alleged that, for an example, where you like you find that this my city and some of these which are here, like Golden Arrow, etc., etc. And you go to these former homelands, and I don't think that they are giving a same deal. And in terms of the contracts which they are given, they are not the same. So I don't know how can I structure it, but to that the department must make sure that they treat their client equal, because they don't treat them equal. For an example, do you still remember when they were putting an example about the issue of PADCO, whereby when it's raining you must have an umbrella right inside the bus, while some of these bus companies in some of the rural areas, they are forced to buy new buses. That means that we are providing money while they don't change buses. They use very skoro-koro buses. While the other hand, there is a condition that they must provide new buses. So with that one...
Thank you, Chairperson.
Advocate. Chair, the paragraph that we have here under the discussion for the APP report will be changed along the same lines as the proposals that were made for the budget report. So we will include the expansion on the skewed subsidy issue, as well as both urban and rural subsidization of transport and looking at all modes. So it will cover the taxis, it will cover all modes, it will cover the rail issues. Everything should be covered once we do the amendment.
Okay. We are on 5.7 now. That was Muloto Corridor. I agree with Honorable Humsinga because he was indicating the fact that we should also look into matters of rail in this instance, because already there is progress with regard to the road. I don't know progress with regard to rail, but we just have to make sure that we do something that has to deal with issues of rail. Honorable Hussein.
Say we're well aware of a memorandum of undertaking and so on, and so I think it would be fair just to ask for progress, because surely, you know, it would be wonderful to also, and in fear of a final decision that the rail is off on Mulato, should, you know, make us cautious around pushing the matter, but then to just inquire around progress, specifically around the MOU of Mulato Rail, just to keep it alive, because I still believe it's viable, because it's a economically high potential area.
Yes, I also agree, Chairperson. To an extent, my concern is that if we delay with this process, there are financial implications whereby the budget will go up drastically. So I do support that we must request that report. I should have maybe if we can also include deadline, when must we get this report? Thank you, Chairperson.
There are no deadlines. Yeah, there are no deadlines, because we have reneged from the decision that we made in 2015. Remember, we used to have quarterly reports from SANRAL and PRASA on both these programs. So we don't even need to make deadlines, but go back to how we used to do it. I think the last time they came and gave us a brief was when we were in that other, what, I don't know how you call that, that house close to Tainhays.
Good Hope Chamber.
Yeah, Good Hope. Yeah, the small one there. That was... Yeah, that was the last time that they gave us a report. So we go back. We should just revert back to say to ourselves, we used to have quarterly reports on rail and road and Muloto issues, and therefore we'll still continue the same way that we're doing. So there's no time frames in that regard. Even if the road is under construction, if it's a 100-kilometer road or a 20-kilometer road, they must give us progress until that road is completed. So basically, you see, when it's completed, that's when we'll close the chapter and move on and look on to something else. What else? Advocate?
Chair, just on the Mulato Corridor, the way I formulated was intended to include in brackets there behind the Mulato Corridor project, having it as a broad concept, but specifying both road and rail. I'm not sure if we must be that specific on the MOU with China, or if we must just rather leave it broad regarding rail, because PRASA has hammered on the fact that Moloto is not in their budget, but they're not specific about the MOU on the progress. But we can, because it was publicized, we can refer to it. It was part of the documents that we had to look at. So we can separate them there, or I don't know if members also want to include here. We are asking for a comprehensive progress report, but members did note in the meeting the discrepancies between the original budget allocation 1.1, last year's sod turning that was 3.7, this year being 4.5 or 4.8. I'm not sure if we should touch on that. Perhaps maybe bring in the Moloto corridor under observations, because it's not there at the moment. I just included it under the recommendations. And then just underneath Moloto corridor, based on the proposals we've had, I will also include recommendations regarding the AG issues on the entities, as well as consequence management.
I think that's it's fair, but probably here we need to take a decision, because it cannot be right that PRASA says in within their budget they don't have a budget for Moloto Road, meaning that for this financial year nothing will be happening. And I stand to be advised, members, that do we leave it like that, that this year there's nothing that will happen? Remember, the last when I was, I'm trying to memory what was happening, was the fact that the presentation that they came to make as PRASA was that they are looking into quantifying the amount of land that will be needed, because in some instances it will be government land, and then there will be some instances where they will have to get a portion from the traditional leaders, portion from the farmers. So they were saying they were quantifying the amount of money that they will need to be able to, as they are doing those, and after that, then they came and say, Treasury, what is that, transaction advisor?
TAY,
whatever they call it. Treasury is not comfortable with that. They're no longer interested. And then subsequently the discussions that ensued with, is it North China, whatever, the president, and then it was back on track again. So it can't be that you know, we like what is that little hohaki that walks like this? Is it a chameleon? Yeah, we can't be like a chameleon. We keep on going backwards and forwards. No, can't agree with that. So that is why I'm putting it to honourable members here to say, what do we say? It can't be right that PRASA says they don't have money for this very important project, but they've got money for Franceman. Yeah, the lawyers. They can't have money for the lawyers, and they don't have money for service delivery. No, can't be. What do we say? Honorable Singh.
Chair, I think it would be fair to ask for the department to enlighten us on a viability study, because certainly there must have been some form of preparation around the viability. Whether there is an MOU or not, or whether land has been bought out or not, certainly all of that was subject to a viability study of some sort. Obviously, all of those things can change if there is a foreign investor, let it be China, let it be anybody, at the end of the day, it's the service that our commuters would benefit from that would be our first priority and focus. So if I could recommend then that we consider something from the department, a formal presentation, so that we can get an indication of what the actual information and status of information is and whether there is an existence of a formal research type of some sort, or whether this still must be done. Certainly there's also issues around EIAs and whether that has been done. So I think we need to establish the status of the work that has been done around the Mulatto Rail idea, because we can push and keep the idea alive. Is there, if there is no serious intent, then, you know, the MOU is nothing but a smokescreen and to keep people in the loop, which I agree with you, Che, is unfair to everybody involved. So then one must rather call it off, focus on the road project, and at least be fair to the general public in that area and get the road thing going, if there's an idea that it would cost too much or what. But we need to get status on this. What's going on? And we need to convey the right message to the people, because I often get calls from that side as well.
Chairperson, I think we are on the same track. That's what I wanted to bring to your attention. This going on, getting back, Mid African trap suits.
Trapsuis.
Chairperson. You see, Chairperson, what is worrying me? That's why I requested that maybe our drafters to have a system how to draft it. You see, do you still remember that there is those youngsters which are very vocal? Why they are informed more than us sometimes? Why it is very difficult for the department to come and brief us? So that's where I've got a problem. That's why I was suggesting that maybe it's very necessary for us to put more pressure on the department to update us time and again. Let me rest it there.
Okay. We are saying that the department must come and update us on the viability of the project. Yeah, the Chameleon project, they must come and give us the viability. Let's write it. It's no longer Mulatto Corridor. Chameleon project. Yeah. Remember, Honorable Umsinga, this project was done between Mpumalanga and Limpopo during the time of President Mbeki, and it was taken up, removed from both provinces in 2004 already to the National Cabinet as both rail and road, and it kept on chameleoning until now, thanks to this committee that really pushed that at least we can see the road now being under construction. Obviously, there is information, a lot of information that has been done, I would say information has been accumulated by both the provinces and by national department, and that is why at some stages Treasury was saying they can fund the road but not the rail based on whatever information at their disposal, and we are saying that it is possible that this project of rail can be funded also from how it has been going on. It's just a matter of when you are in the office, you don't see the situation on the ground, then you take it that this situation is not workable, or it's workable according to your visualization, your imaginary visualization. So, indeed, let's get the department to come and give us progress to date. Obviously, when we say department, it means Brasa and Sandra, accompanied by the department, to come and give us progress to date. Is there any other thing that we want to talk to? How long can we get the updated reports? How long will it take you to get for us to get the updated reports so that we're able to deal with the matter?
Chair, we can include the changes and send it out to members by the latest at 5 o'clock today.
Are we okay, members? I think are we happy with the report? Silence is golden. We are fine. Okay. Ufike kontong uri ke I object kitla o bontsha.
The voting is different. This is to say the report, yeah, is what we discuss.
Don't object.
No, that is obvious.
Yeah, Honor Advocate, this time you're going to agree with us. Don't be a coward.
What does Zerkman think?
Yeah, I agree with you saying ANC members are coward. Don't be a coward. You're going to vote with us.
As long as that social government of Winterfeld Road is not true, I'm going to reject this.
Okay.
I went there.
You saw?
And we recommended. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Honorable members, can we converge maybe once we have gone through the report this evening, this late this afternoon? Can we sometimes maybe tomorrow, before we go to Parliament, converge just to endorse the report? Say, what? No. What's difficult? Oh, okay. Are you debating?
Maybe we can get the outcome of yesterday's court.
Eh? Advocate, you're still in court?
No, I mean, you see, the Chief Justice can come with a report tomorrow. And, so we can rush to the House for this voting. This I tried to see with my friend. Because we already have CDC members.
Can we agree that maybe for 15 minutes we just... can we make it tomorrow, just before we go to the House, so that we don't inconvenience members? Tomorrow it's Wednesday. We're starting at 3 o'clock. It's 2. Oh, yeah. Mini budget. Let's make it for 1:30.
Well, time is 8:35, but I will inform them.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Can I have ANC members remaining? This
what,
one
what,
thinks
what
we are cowards. We want to show him a thing or two.
Yeah. What about those who were ANC members?
If you want to come, they will be okay.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it. You will remain an innocent man.